Yeah, I'm actually not using a 3-wood at the moment. I'm just using the Rogue 5-wood.
He's got the 5,
yeah. Yeah, so that's another good thing about the driver, actually. If I'm too far out for the 5-wood on a par 5, I use the driver off the deck a fair bit. You know, the 5-wood's almost two clubs in one. If I draw it, it comes out like a 3-wood, and if I hit a little bit of a fade, it's more like a 5-wood. So it's going to be hard to get that one out of the bag.
This is the Fitting Room Podcast with your hosts, Nate Adelman and AJ Volpel.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Fitting Room Podcast. Yeah. I am your host, AJ Volpel, alongside Nate Adelman. Holy cow. It's weird, Nate, because it feels like it's been a while with the podcast, but it hasn't really been a while because we've been together every single week on our live show, and I hate to alienate people that listen to the podcast and don't listen to the live show. We still love you guys, and we're still creating a ton of Fitting Room podcasts, but there's just been a little hiatus, you know? I don't know what else I could say.
Well, shout out to you, AJ, for now being a new father.
Ah,
so
well, thank you.
It was exciting.
That.
You know, we cut you a little bit of slack on caring for a living creature who's relying upon you.
Yes.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong, but I believe now the Fitting Room has its own channel on iTunes.
It does, and I'll tell you this. This is the kind of priority that the Fitting Room gets. So if you listen to other podcasts that are part of the Callaway Podcast Network, which is kind of like our official name for like our station on iTunes and Spotify and all that, but we've actually separated out podcasts. So for example, The Ship Show is our other kind of flagship podcast, and that used to just be on one feed along with the Fitting Room. So if you were subscribed to Callaway Podcasts, you would get notifications for the Fitting Room and The Ship Show, which all on one feed. But now we've taken The Ship Show to a different feed and transformed the Callaway Podcast feed to the Fitting Room feed.
Right.
So nobody has to resubscribe to anything.
Right, but here's the crux now. Now we'll know head to head which podcast gets more listens.
Right, because you've been competitive with this for a while.
So what I would like to see, now they beat us on quantity of episodes.
I love it.
The Ship Show has way more episodes. That's okay. It's a kind of different vibe.
Yeah.
The Fitting Room is for those who are avid about their equipment.
Yep.
Who want to learn.
Inquisitive.
Who never are satisfied with their setup. That's the guy who we're talking to. If you're not that guy, I would say unsubscribe.
Yeah.
But if you are totally that guy, I want you to subscribe, and I want you to get your friends to subscribe.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot riding on it for the Fitting Room.
Yeah. And you know what? Leave some reviews. Let us know how you like it. I read all the reviews. I see some of you guys talking trash on me. And you know what? Bring it, man.
And
I
if
love
you
it.
See AJ
you
in,
ain't nothing if you don't
if
have
you
any
see,
haters, man.
If you see AJ
you know?
In
Come
public,
on.
Like walking down the street, I want you to yell at him and say something about the Fitting Room to him.
Yeah, and
street.
Listen, I'm getting sick of my own voice too. So I don't blame you guys, you know what I mean? But in any event, this particular episode was filmed a couple weeks ago, or now I guess two months ago, I'm not sure what it is. I don't even know what day it is today. That's what happens when you have a little baby, a tiny little baby. But this episode is with a familiar guest to the Fitting Room, and that's Mark Leishman. We have him on almost every year because he is an all-time changer and tinkerer of his equipment. So we love to get his thought process on how new clubs replace clubs in his bag, where a lot of, you know, for a lot of pros amongst all brands and OEMs and all that, it's not easy for new clubs to make it to their bag.
There are many players that are skeptical of change in their equipment. There are other players who believe innocent before proven guilty on new equipment, and they will give it the benefit of the doubt and give it a try. Mark Leishman falls in the latter category. So we love talking to him because he's always trying new things, seeing what's better, seeing how he likes stuff. And so it's always fun to pick his brain on what makes a club land in his back.
Yeah. So the plug before the conversation is just going to be our live show every Monday, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. For 1 hour, we take your calls live on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. And that's why there's been a little hiatus in the podcast, that along with Baby. So make sure you check that show out and call in with your questions or drop your questions on the Callaway community, callawaygolf.com/community. Find the Fitting Corner thread. A lot of you do because we answer a lot of your questions.
Can I do one more plug?
Oh, of course.
On that thread in the Fitting Corner or on your review on iTunes or for the podcast, if there's episodes, topics you want us to cover podcast, tell us, because we've got a list of stuff we've got, but maybe there's something that we didn't get on the list that we'd love to hear from you and figure out what you'd like.
Yeah, and we'll try to make these regular again. Every other Wednesday is when they used to be released, but we'll try to stick by that schedule again. We have some equipment fitting rooms coming up, some more with Tour Pros, but we think you guys will really, really dig this one with Mark Leishman, and here we go.
Hey guys, this is Amanda Baliones, and did you know that you should refresh your wedges every 50 to 60 rounds? Don't be caught with worn out grooves. Tune into The Fitting Room on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio for all of your fitting questions.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Special guest in the house, Mark Leishman. Mark, you are a returning guest on our show. Are you excited to be back on?
Great to be back. Yeah, always happy to talk to you guys.
All right, excellent. Well, I'm staring at your clubs right now. I have a lot of questions for you. Nate is actually in Southern California, so he can't see them, but I sent him a picture so he knows what they look like. One thing we always love talking with you about is the fact that you're very proactive in getting into the latest equipment. So are you like big into technology, or are you finding that when the tour staff, our Callaway tour staff, introduces new product, it just performs better for you? How does that work?
Well, that's the big thing. It has to be better to go into the bag. I'm not going to make a change if it's just the same or worse. So all the gear, I mean, the Callaway R&D team are doing a great job because everything they seem to give me is better. The new Apex Pro irons, I put them in the bag. The first event was Hawaii, was Maui. I think I finished fourth there, and then third the week after at the Sony. So that was a pretty good start for them.
Yeah, no kidding.
But no, you know, love all the stuff. I actually used a new golf ball at the at Maui as well. So the new Chrome Soft.
So I want to get your irons in a minute, but I want to start top down from driver. So you put Flash in the bag. What are some things that you've noticed differently about Flash or the way that's performed that kind of made you switch into it?
Well, I mean, to start with, it was longer, or still is longer.
Yeah.
I found that the miss hits were going further than what I thought they would and straighter. I guess all the artificial intelligence
that
they put into it has really, really paid off because it's noticeably better. It looks great, and then it's got the one I'm using. It's got the weight on the back that's adjustable. So along with the hosel.
Yeah.
So there's multiple adjustments I can make if I need to. But at the moment, it's going pretty well, and I enjoy getting up and letting it rip on the tee.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we love watching it.
Now we've heard from a lot of tour players that fitting and switching the 3-wood is one of the hardest clubs in the bag to get right. Right now, you still got the Rogue Sub-Zero 3-wood. Just so that we can pass along to our R&D team, what's it going to take to swap that one out?
Yeah, I'm actually not using a 3-wood at the moment. I'm just using the Rogue 5-wood.
He's got the 5,
yeah. Yeah, so it's another good thing about the driver, actually. If I'm too far out for the 5-wood on a par 5, I use the driver off the deck a fair bit. So it gives a little bit more versatility in my bag, gives me the opportunity to put an extra wedge in, and you know, the 5-wood's almost two clubs in one. I can, if I draw it, it comes out like a 3-wood, and if I hit a little bit of a fade, it's more like a 5-wood. So it's going to be hard to get that one out of the bag, but you know, I'm sure eventually it'll get replaced with the Epic.
Do you ever hit that, the 5-wood or the fairway wood off the tee, or is it primarily into par fives for your usage of it?
I use it for everything. Yeah, okay. I use it off the tee. Most of the time, if I'm hitting it off the tee, it's a draw, mm-hmm. and you know, using it as a 3-wood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a pretty versatile club. I use it everywhere. Occasionally, I'll use it out of the rough to just try and hack it out, and you can get, you know, about 200 yards out of it, out of the thick rough.
And now you go from the 5-wood straight to 3-iron.
Yep.
So the gapping there, so what would you say the gapping between the 5 and the 3 is? So if you, how far do you hit the 5-wood?
The 5-wood, well, when I'm fading it, I fly at about, well, 250 yards.
Yeah.
255 yards. If I'm drawing it, it's flying further. You know, 265, 270. Mm-hmm. And then the 3-iron... I work in meters, so I'm doing all the math in my head.
Right.
But the 3-iron off fly, it's about 230 to 35 yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you find that gap, so there's potentially a 20 to 25 yard gap. You don't need a club in that space. Like, that space is pretty much covered, or you never really kind of find yourself in that kind of awkward.
Well, I do, but I can hit the 3-iron a bit harder if I want to, and I'll put a bit more cut on the 5-wood to take a bit of yardage off it. So, that's a good thing about that club. I'm comfortable doing a lot of things with it.
Yeah.
And just to play with the yardages.
Yeah, see, Nate, that's what we have to start telling more amateurs, is to just, if they're having gapping issues, just tell them to hit the club, you know, the one club a little harder.
And then you won't have any gapping
issues. And then you won't have any gapping issues. It's simple.
Yeah, I think that'll work well. I think that'll work well for most people. Mark, you recently switched from the X-Forged Iron to the Apex Pro. Talk to us about that process. What were you looking for, and what was it about the Apex Pro irons that earned their way into your bag?
Yeah, well, I had the irons given to me at a fitting day for the Epic Flash down in Orlando, and
you went to a demo day. See, he's just like us, Nate. He goes to demo days for the new equipment.
Got fitted up, and they surprised me with the irons. Had them made up for me. Mm-hmm. It was just before I was actually going to go to Australia for the Australian Open. Yep. The Australian PGA and the World Cup, and it was after that, but I was going from Australia to Maui. So I had to basically make a decision which irons I was going to use. And I just took them. I didn't even take the other ones.
I love it.
They looked so good. They come out a little bit higher, but still spin a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, they look awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you can shape them pretty well, but they're also forgiving. So, I mean, I couldn't ask for any more out of an iron.
Yeah.
You know, without going to something that was really big with more distance, but then you know, you probably lose a bit of workability.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, what would you say to the amateur, potentially one sitting right next to you, who still uses muscle backs?
I don't know. I mean, you got to use what you know. You have to like what you're looking down at.
Exactly.
So,
see, Nate.
So if you don't like what you're looking down at, you know, it's going to be hard to love it as a club.
Yeah.
And that's what was the first thing that sort of attracted me to those, the new Apex Pro irons, was the look of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that most irons now perform reasonably similar. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's obviously some that are more forgiving than others, but you do lose a bit of that beauty factor, I guess,
right,
you could say.
And now, so we go three through pitching wedge with Apex Pro, and then just talk about your wedge lofts and kind of what kind of shots you hit with your wedges. Because we know that loft has a lot to do if you're hitting full swings with your wedges, or you're kind of just like knocking down wedges. So take us through your little wedge makeup over there.
Yeah, so I've got a 48 degree Mac Daddy 4, and then I'll go to a 52. I think they've both got 10 bounce on them.
Yep.
Then my 56 has a little less bounce on it.
So 56 is your highest lofted wedge?
56, and then I've got a 60.
And you got
as well.
60, okay.
Yeah, so I actually in Malaysia last year, it was the first event I'd used four wedges.
Yeah.
So I used to play a lot of the knockdown shots because I went, I think it was 47, 53, 58.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have big gaps there. So I was always doing stuff with them. So with these, I'm hitting more full shots.
Oh, okay.
Not knocking them down as much. I don't have to mess around with the spin as much with these. I can just hit a full shot and
you'll know how it'll react on the green.
Yeah, exactly. I can hit a little softer to take spin off it or harder to add spin. So that's been a pretty good change for me.
Have you had to experiment a lot with that kind of new wedge technique, and especially with the ball? Have you had to get used to the spin patterns and the different characteristics of the new Chrome Soft decks that you're playing?
Yeah, so it's I'm a pretty high spin player with the wedges, which bodes really well when the conditions are firm,
right?
And then, you know, when it's soft, it's obviously a little more difficult, you know, controlling spin if you're a high spin player with the wedges. So I would probably like to use a ball that spun a little bit more with the driver, but with the wedges, I would be compromising. So I'm using a ball that is good everywhere.
Right. So it's a good
thing as well.
You're finding a good balance with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I'm hitting it longer with the driver.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I can control the spin with the wedges.
Yeah.
Now, let's moving down the bag. I'll call it old baseball. Talk to us about that putter of yours.
Yeah, that's been in the bag for a fair while. My clubs didn't turn up at the British Open. I think it was 2016. So I went into the truck and just grabbed a putter to just so I could hit a few putts on the greens, and that's been in my bag ever since. So it's getting close to 3 years now.
You almost won that.
yeah, got close.
Yeah.
So I'm getting that. That's actually another putter. That's a red one.
The red and white. That's right.
Out of the truck.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same insert, same length, same grip, same everything. So,
right. And that it's that Versa alignment that you're attracted to when addressing ball. Is that kind of accurate?
I like being able to see the face.
Yeah.
Because if the face is closed or open, it's impossible not to notice. So every single putt I hit, I know that the face is square. So if it misses, it's either a misread or it was the
or
bloke's
caddies,
fault.
Or Maddie's fault.
It's normally the bloke who's hanging onto it. Yeah, so it's that's pretty been a really good putter for me. But the new putters that have just come out, they're getting close to coming in the bag.
The Stroke Lab. Yeah, we were talking with a couple of guys yesterday who just put the Stroke Lab in play, and they were saying on longer putts it's kind of helping for more consistency in terms of speed and things, but you know, you've always been such a great putter that it's like it's hard to, you know, get that kind of technology, the Versa technology, out of the bag, because, you know, when you have success, I mean, why kind of ruin that, you know?
Yeah, I've always been of the motto of if it's don't broken,
yeah, right,
or
right.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. So it's hard to get new stuff into the bag for me, but you know, if it's better, it's a no-brainer to put it in.
What's the one club? Well, there might be more than one club, but what's the one club that when you're addressing or you're looking down at a dress that you kind of know that you're definitely going to hit a good shot?
I love it's funny, it's a random club, my 9-iron.
Oh,
love
nice.
My 9-iron.
Nice.
It's one of the clubs that I've, you know, if I'm ever standing over it, I'm not just thinking about getting it on the green or hitting it close. I'm trying to, you know, make it.
You're trying to make it?
That's
Nate has that feeling with no clubs in his bag.
Well, I wish it would be with every club. That would be a nice thing, but it seems to be just the 9-iron, so
yeah.
I would say that or the putter. The putter, I feel really good over the putter when it's on.
Nice. Nice. Nate, any parting words from you in Southern California?
Well, Mark, thank you for joining us again, and we hope it's a great year for you, and we're going to be rooting for you, and we'll get you back on the show when you win again.
No worries. It sounds good. Hopefully it's soon rather than later.
Yeah, Mark, always a pleasure meeting up with you here at the Players. We kind of do this every year, so best of luck the rest of the year, and let us know if you're making any changes. Make sure to call us immediately if that happens,
right.
And we'll talk about it. But thanks again, and good luck, man.
Sounds good. No worries. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. And stay tuned in a couple weeks for another episode of The Fitting Room.